Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
This morning, Pastor Goins' message is the second part of a message preached on February 23rd from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Pastor Goins has reviewed the faithfulness and patience of God shown to His chosen people throughout history. Those who stubbornly opposed God are addressed by Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, in this way, as Paul wrote, "Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." We see that the Bible is clear that God is not simply a grandfatherly figure who overlooks the sins and evils of those He loves. In the right time, and according to the knowledge and wisdom of a God who knows all things, He will bring justice as that all-knowing judge. He is not willing that any should perish, and in His mercy and patience, He has given ample opportunity for all men to turn to Himself for redemption. But those who have rejected and refused His mercy will not stand guiltless before Him. And this morning we're going to break into this sermon at this point as Pastor Goins considers what the Scripture has to say about the opposition to the grace of God that the early church in Thessalonica faced. Here's Pastor Goins.
There are severe eternal consequences for rejecting Jesus and the gospel. And if you've not turned from your sin, you're on a path this morning that leads to eternal destruction. But I'm so thankful this morning that God has built some heavenly roadblocks along the highway to hell. He did this for the people of Israel by sending them prophets to warn them and call them back. He did this in the days of the early church by sending the apostles. And God is still in the business of setting up heavenly roadblocks today. Thank God for the roadblocks that God establishes to get our attention and stop us in our tracks. Do you remember some of the roadblocks that God put in your pathway to get your attention? You know, I believe God wants to use us to help build some roadblocks in some people's lives. He wants us to help establish a roadblock of prayer. Down through the years, how many times have we read the testimony or heard the testimony repeated of some young man, some young woman whose heart was as hard and rebellious towards God as could be? And he goes out to sow his wild oats and live life his own way, but the whole time he's miserable because he knows he has parents at home who are praying for him and lifting him to the Father and interceding that God would spare his life and put him under conviction and draw him back into the fold. When you and I take seriously our responsibility to enter the throne room of heaven and to partner with Jesus in prayer for the lost through the very work of effectual, fervent prayer, we are helping to build heavenly roadblocks in the way of sinners who are traveling the highway to hell. Dr. Wesley Duell wrote this. He said, God will never treat people as robots or manipulate them. God will never violate an individual's free will. But God has ways of coordinating events, effects, and actions of other people until even the most stubborn sinners change. It may take continuing intercession over a long period of time, or the prayers of a number of prevailing prayer warriors, but prayer can prevail until someone changes. Hallelujah. God wants to use you to help build the roadblock of prayer in someone's life. Your faithful prayer may be the roadblock that helps keep a sinner from plunging into the depths of eternal damnation. It may be the roadblock of faithful prayer coupled with the roadblock of your godly influence. Could I remind you this morning that how you live, the attitudes that you show, the way that you treat other people could either be a roadblock that stops a person on the road to destruction, or it could be one of the reasons that someone rejects God and His church. You know, there have been some folks that I've met over the years who've made me think, well, if that's what a Christian's like, I really wouldn't want anything to do with it. Let's be honest. But then there have been some other people that I have known along the way, and I've walked away and I've said, I want what they've got. I want to be like them. They're sweet when they're done wrong. I want to have that same kind of sweetness. I want to have the same kind of peace that they have, even if my world's caving in. I want to have that courage, that boldness. There's something uniquely spiritually different about them, and that's how I want to be. And if you live the Christian life the way it ought to be lived, if the fruit of the Spirit is blooming in your life, then your testimony, the very way that you live, is a powerful witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wonder this morning, and I ask us to consider, if a sinner on the broad path to destruction were to take a close look at your life, would they want what you've got? Is there something attractive about the way you walk with God? Some folks are so negative and critical. And if that's you, you might be standing in someone's way of coming to God. If you were on the outside looking in, and folks on the inside were always whining, complaining. This is just airmail. This is about nothing specific. But if you were on the outside looking in, and folks on the inside are always whining and complaining, would you want to come inside and be a part of that crowd? God help us to be people who reflect the joy of the Lord. There's something about joyful living that is attractive to the world. God help us to live in such a way that our lives, our testimony, our reputation, our prayer serves as a roadblock along someone's pathway. God, give us stability, peace, joy. Amen. But it's not just up to us to be that roadblock. I want to remind you, our prayers, our influence, our witness, our testimony, in all of those things, we're simply partnering with God in what He's already doing. Jesus is in heaven this morning praying for the salvation of the lost. And when we join Him in intercession, we're partnering with Him. And we know that the Holy Spirit is faithful to witness to the hearts of sinners, to show them their need of salvation. And so as we live out a godly, consistent life before sinners, and when we speak to someone and share the gospel with them, we're coming alongside, we're partnering with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit can do a much more effective job of speaking into a sinner's heart than we can. And we have the promise of His enabling power. Could I remind you this morning, as you carry a burden for lost souls, the Holy Spirit is at work in their lives in ways that you cannot see and that you may not even understand. And oftentimes it may seem like nothing's happening. It might feel like your prayers are worthless, but the faith, the Spirit is faithful to speak and to draw and to put up roadblocks in a person's pathway Titus 2:11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. John 6:44, no man can come to me, Jesus said, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And this morning, the Father is in the business of drawing and inviting. Francis Thompson called this grace that's given to sinners, he called it the hound of heaven. And how beautifully he described the faithfulness of God to keep on the tracks of the sinner, to draw them to himself. He talked about running from the hound of heaven. He said, I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him. He said, I ran, and from those strong feet that followed after, but with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, with deliberate speed and majestic instancy, the footsteps of the Holy Spirit kept following after him. And by the end of the poem, Thompson comes to realize the steady footsteps that have been behind him the whole time. The voice that he hears calling is God himself. And everywhere he turned, wherever he hid, no matter where it was, God was faithfully plodding behind him, calling him, wooing him, inviting him to the fold. And if you know the workings of God, you know he never forces anybody to serve him. He kindly invites. He faithfully calls. And if you're here this morning as a sinner, you might not want anybody else to know it, but I guarantee you somewhere along the way you've sensed and you've heard the hound of heaven on your trail. And you might have learned how to drown out the voice of God and how to outrun the stately steppings of the Holy Spirit. You might have learned how to ignore the voice of the Spirit, ignore it as he calls you from sin. But you were made in God's likeness. You were created in God's image. You were made to serve the Lord, and he wants you to be delivered. He wants you to be set free from your sin. God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. But long before a sinner reaches that point, I want you to remember what Paul said. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. And so long as there's breath in your body, or in the body of your loved one, so long as there's a desire and a hunger in the heart to seek after God, that's the grace of a long-suffering Savior who's giving another day, another chance, another opportunity to turn from your sin to seek the Savior. He's faithful. The roadblocks he puts in our pathway, prayer, the influence of godly people, the voice and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But then I would suggest that perhaps the greatest heavenly roadblock on the highway to eternal destruction took the form of a rough Roman cross. And somewhere out there on that broad highway that leads to eternal damnation is a cross with a man, not just any man, the Son of God, with arms outstretched. And he hangs on the cross, shedding his precious blood, bearing the guilt and weight of your sin, providing you with a way of escape. He hung there because there's an awful place called hell. He hung there because he knew that your sin would send you there, and he didn't want you to go. And I asked you this morning, can you look in the eyes of Jesus, suffering, bleeding, dying on Calvary's cross? Can you take in the scene of Calvary, that greatest of heavenly roadblocks, and go walking past that roadblock? I would plead to you this morning, look to Jesus. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus with eyes of faith. Look to him. Look to Jesus. He's your only hope. Your only hope. The sacrifice that Jesus made at Calvary is a sufficient roadblock to stop you dead in your tracks and turn your life around and set you on a brand new trajectory. Doesn't matter how long you've been traveling the Broadway. Doesn't matter how far down that road you are. God allows for detours. God allows for U-turns. That's why he puts up the roadblock. because he loves you so much. I was reading recently the story of the son of an evangelist. This young man had been raised in the church. He'd been given every opportunity to respond to the gospel, to follow Jesus. By his own admission, his parents were good parents. They weren't hypocritical. They were consistent. They were balanced. They weren't harsh. They were faithful in the way they led their children. But in spite of a good Christian home, in spite of all the wonderful opportunities to know God, to walk in his truth, this young man rejected the God of his parents. His life began to spiral out of control. In his own words, he said, "I was the fool of the book of Proverbs." He said, "I squandered every opportunity. I took the path of least resistance. I stumbled through life drunk, stoned, or both." He said, "Just about every decision I made was a wrong one. Everything was about me, having fun, chasing women, partying with friends, getting into trouble. It was a competition to see who could do the craziest stuff and laugh about it the next day." He said, "If that's not being a fool, then I don't know what is." His name was Andrew. And he said, "I was in love with Andrew. I wanted to be cool. I was selfish, self-indulgent, self-centered, rebellious. Not because I was angry with God." In fact, he said he actually thought that the Bible was true, that Christianity was right, but he just didn't care. He loved his sin too much. He was set on having his own way. And because of that, his life kept spiraling further and further out of control, went on for years. He was more interested in doing what he wanted, gratifying his own desires. And yet in the middle of living for himself, he got so incredibly miserable. Miserable. He couldn't stand going to bed sober. Because he said, "If I went to bed sober in the quietness of the night, when I was left alone, I was there with nothing but my thoughts." So every night he either found somebody to party with until he was drunk enough to go home and pass out, or else he'd drink himself drunk alone in his living room till he fell asleep. You know, if that young man had died under those circumstances, it would have been completely justified for him to experience the judgment of God. He'd been given so many opportunities, so many chances to respond to God's grace, and he squandered them one by one. But God is rich in mercy. Amen. And rich in grace. Yes. Yes. And even in this young man's rebellion and resistance and rejection, God kept pursuing him, chasing after him, until finally this young man reached a point of desperation. And he began begging God to reveal himself to him. He wanted, in that moment, he wanted something unique, something special, not realizing simply the fact that the gospel is enough. God doesn't have to do more than that. But he said when nothing special happened, he was disillusioned until he began to pray, not, "God, do something special for me, but God, what is keeping me from you?" And God always responds to a humble heart. When we humble ourselves and acknowledge our need and acknowledge how desperately we must have him, he always responds. Somebody that doesn't make demands, but just says, "I'm a sinner, and God, how can I be made right with you?" And he said he had the distinct impression that God asked him, "Do you really want to know what's wrong, Andrew?" "Yes, God, what is it keeping me from you?" And in that instant, he said, God miraculously opened his eyes to what had been keeping them apart. And he said, there before him, he saw all the garbage of his life. His lying, his cheating, his stealing, the abusive relationships, the arrogance, the pride, the addiction, the people that he'd hurt. All the deception, the hypocrisy, the callousness. He said, I saw it all, this seemingly insurmountable pile of sin stacked as high as I could see. He said, as I looked at that, I was stricken, horrified. He said, I fell on my face, embarrassed. I was heaving with sobs. My tears were falling on the floor. He said, he prayed, God, how could I have been such a fool? Forgive me. Take this away. I can't live with it anymore. What hope do I have with all this garbage that's in me? God responded right out of Scripture. If you'll confess your sins, Andrew, if you'll just agree with me about what I say about you, I'll forgive you of your unrighteousness, and I'll clean it all out, and I'll take it as far as the east is from the west, and I won't remember it against you anymore. Hallelujah. And Andrew said he began confessing his sin as fast as God could bring the sins to his consciousness. He cried for forgiveness, and God was forgiving him. And he said, God was cleansing me and scrubbing me and scouring me. And I saw myself as I really was in the light of God's holiness and purity. And he said, I was shattered, but by God's grace, he began to put the broken pieces back together again. And after a while of confessing and asking God's forgiveness, he said it was like God flipped a light on in his soul. He was completely relieved of the burden of sin, and he understood for the first time what it meant to be absolutely free. Doesn't that sound good? Do you know what it is to be free? Free from the guilt of the past. Free from the fear of tomorrow. Hallelujah, I am free. Oh, what glorious liberty. Hallelujah for Jesus and for what the difference that he makes. How sad to know the message of the gospel, to know the message of full salvation, and yet to reject it. Like these Jewish people, they had every opportunity. The prophets came to them, and then Jesus came to them, and then the apostles began preaching. They rejected. But oh, that God would give us hearts like these Thessalonians who hear the gospel truth and we hunger and say, Lord, I want that. All that you want to do for me, I want you to do for me. I want you to know this morning, if you're here, as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, if you're not free, if you've not turned from your sin, today could be the day. This morning could be the time that your chains are broken and your life is transformed. You say, what do I have to do? Well, you're going to have to agree with God that you're a sinner. Lord, I've sinned against you. I've broken your word. Lord, I'm a sinner. And then you'll have to confess your sin to God. And then you'll have to ask him to forgive you and to wash you clean. And then make a commitment enabled by his grace that you will turn from your sin and follow Jesus. Not my own way, God, but your way. And trust that he will save you and do what he's promised. Would you stand with me this morning? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Realize this is a serious message, and yet it's also a glorious, glorious reality. There's a consequence, eternal consequences for rejecting Christ, but there's a wonderful, wonderful solution found in a relationship with Jesus. We're not going to wait long, but just a moment. These altars are open. The invitation is given as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. You know that if you were to die today, you're not ready to stand before God and give an account of your life. But you could be ready. You could be ready even this very day. You could begin to prepare for eternity. Would you have the courage to step out from where you are? We're not here to embarrass you, but we're here to do business with God. And this altar is a place that we've set aside for people to come and pray. And if you came this morning, we would come and we would pray with you and help you make your peace with God. You could be in right relationship with him. Right now, why don't you step out from where you are? We want to pray with you this morning. We're waiting just a moment.
My friend, if you'd like to talk to someone about your relationship with God and where you stand before him, we'd be happy to talk with you. Please contact us by calling 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Our Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And even if you've rejected him in the past, his love and his mercy are available for you this morning. You've been listening to a message preached by Reverend Curtis Going, the senior pastor of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church, located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock in the evening for worship. On Wednesday nights, we gather for prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, we hope to see you there in person, but if that's not possible, you can watch our services live online at LebanonGMC.com. There, you'll find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. My friend, we look forward to having you join us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing throughout another week.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious tool, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
Cross my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I run dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, you are the treasure that I see. You are my own.